How are we doing today, folks? We are going to talk about that amazing Thor mockumentary. We are going to talk about Spider-Man news. We're going to talk about a lot of X-Men news. We're going to talk about a lot of news here on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. We are coming to you live from Daryl's office.
Oh, okay.
I think Daryl's office is where we are today because that mockumentary made me very happy. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I did. I'm a big fan of Daryl Jacobson. I think he's a perfect foil to Thor.
It made me so much more excited about everything involving Thor 3, and I was already so excited.
Yeah.
It's like a sneak peek.
I mean, if you already weren't in love with Thor and, you know, Chris Hemsworth anyway,
somehow.
It's just like... when he had like a, you know, like when you see anybody like and they're trying to figure out, you know, what's in everything. And I love like on his wall, he's like, here, big purple guy.
We're going to get there. We're going to talk.
I'm skipping ahead.
First, subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us through Popcorn Talks Network, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel Movie News PTN or at Popcorn Talk. Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us. And if you link to our show while we're on the live chat, and encourage others to join us in live chat, Doom in the booth!
Doom!
We'll retweet you.
Doom is here.
You okay, Doom?
Doom Something had audio problems.
Doom was figuring out the mask. He was adjusting. It's a whole thing. So this week, I am joined by the ever-lovely Markia.
Hello. You can find me on Twitter at Markia McCarty. MarkiaMccarty.
And we'll be joined by another guest when he gets through traffic. That started with the delay today, folks. We were waiting on the one and the only Alan Sizzler Kistler, who is, dealing with LA being LA. So instead of waiting, we'll push forward. And since it is a Koi-hosted show today, Deadpool.
Of course.
Deadpool 2, no news. Deadpool 1, it's been out a while, but... we found out this week, and this is impossibly endearing for me, that Ryan Reynolds himself paid the writers to be on set every day.
Yeah.
That's adorable. The quote was that we were on set every day, interestingly. Ryan wanted us there. We were on the project for 6 years. It was really a core creative team of us, Ryan, and the director, Tim Miller. Fox, interestingly, wouldn't pay for us to be on set. Ryan Reynolds paid out of his own money, out of his own pocket. That is... I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. We already knew that he was so involved in the Deadpool. I mean, he...
11 years of him fighting.
But to the point where it's like, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah.
It's like, I need that core creative team, those writers to be on set. That's fantastic.
Like the Keanu Reeves thing where he bought everyone motorcycles in The Matrix. And like, I love... Have you heard about that?
I forgot about that. Like, that synapse just got reconnected with me saying that. But yeah, he did do that.
I love when actors are like... hey, I have this because of you guys, and I want to pay it forward, and here's money. Like, I love that, like, Deadpool is the most obnoxious, crass, Ryan Reynolds is Van Wilder. Like, I love that this guy is all these things, but he's also, like, devoted dad, good husband, guy who pays his writers to be on set.
Hilarious on Twitter.
Brilliant. Like, there's better lists about his tweets than most people ever have, like, lists. Like, he's just brilliant all the time, and he's also all heart. So, Deadpool... paid to make sure that movie was good out of his own pocket, and you know he wasn't getting paid much. Like, that movie costs less than most catering budgets.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
That's true. And apparently, you already know, like, the second one isn't going to have that much bigger of a budget.
Just
so
smart.
Yeah, and, like, I like that.
He was coming off RIPD and, like, Turbo. Like, he wasn't exactly, like, riding high. Like,
Forgot about that movie.
In 1 year, he had those two movies.
Where he was a Sheriff of the Dead.
With Jeff Bridges. And then he also played a snail that no one saw. And I saw both because I love the man, but man, that was a rough year. And then to be like, all right, well, I'm just going to give the right. Like, I love that. And it makes me really happy. So I wanted to share with y'all that Deadpool, it's coming. And it's going to be just as good.
Just love when that passion just explodes.
Oh, I'm
everywhere.
So excited. So and good. Since Matt Key is not here, we still got to mention his boy. And I'm going to follow up Deadpool news with Doctor Strange news. These are rumored, but it is rumored that there might be some ties to Runaways in the Doctor Strange movie.
Oh.
That's crazy. Because we just heard about Runaways being a Hulu show, which would imply a whole connectivity we've never seen.
Actually. I'm just loving how everything... the world keeps on getting exploded more and more, and Doctor Strange has done a really good job of exploding things out for other properties down the line. So it's like, wow, I'm on board.
There's also rumors that Guardians is going to connect through it. Like, there's a lot of rumors that Doctor Strange, like, is going to be the bridge to, like, the Guardians has always been slightly separate. Like, it's in the universe, but not touching. And then Runaways would be Hulu. So if they can use, I mean, obviously these multiple realms, multiple realities, all these parallel universes, what a better way to, like, tie it all together. Yeah. And that means that they've been thinking about Runaways for quite some time.
I think it's just very, it's very clean and simple to tie Runaways into Doctor Strange. And especially... just because it's Minoru,
right? Right.
The witch
right.
whose daughter is
Tina
a member.
Tina and Miko, is that what you're talking?
Yeah. Because her daughter is a member of the Runaways, so it's like it. I don't even know if she's going to be in the movie, but she did appear. The mom. She did appear in the Doctor Strange tie-in prelude comic.
Interesting.
So she's already around. Those are considered, I believe that the term that used to be used at least near canon was like something that was used around a few years ago at least, but it basically is just like it's canon unless the movies ever want to contradict it.
Right, that's funny. we'll figure that out later. We'll sort it through.
That's fun.
Also rumored that Brother Voodoo and Minoru, I don't know how to pronounce that because I've never heard it out loud. That name
there's a lot of names that it's just like, I've read it, but I've never no idea how to actually
say
it.
Someone wrote it, but I got no auditory. Anyway, those characters, I can say Brother Voodoo, are rumored to also be in Doctor Strange. And I like Brother Voodoo as a character, and I think that'd be really cool to start that kind of magic team like they kind of have in the comics right now, where he's got his own, like, you know, mystical posse.
Yes, if magic's gonna be magic, all Brother Voodoo all day.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, for a while he was Sorcerer Supreme. Like, there was a little bit where he took over the mantle.
Yes, that's right, he was. Not going, like, well, very far ahead, I even like the sacrifice that's involved with Brother Voodoo. I mean, everybody sacrifices themselves every now and again, but, like, his whole thing with Daniel, his brother, and then, like, later on with was it the Eye of Agamotto? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, I'm gonna save you all.
There's
oh
a lot.
My god, Brother Voodoo.
Like, Brother Voodoo's got a lot going on, especially lately. Yeah. I feel like writers have really discovered how to use him right, and ooh, tying that into this would be great.
Yeah, the times change and
so
people's
excited.
Mind expands
and
characters
the idea of,
get
like,
better dimensions.
Like voodoo magic, like Louisiana flavored character.
Yes.
Like, I love that world being utilized instead of just like, not to say we've seen it before, but the feeling of Tibet and all those things, that, like, movies use that mysticism a little more often than, say, like, the Louisiana voodoo.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a theory with that. Depending, because, like, Tibetan mystical, you know, that tends to be more relatable for certain cultures. And then having mystical that happens in the bayou has a scare. It's been used as a scare tactic.
And, like, it's a certain
exactly where it's like this bad, dark, evil thing, when it's like, well, you know, mysticism in general can be bad, dark, and evil, but with certain cultures, it's even worse. So I like that Brother Voodoo
is a positive force.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's like that is
found someone.
Hey, Alan.
How you doing, man?
Not too bad.
We got a guest.
You're on this side.
Okay, over there. Cool.
He's going on the scenic route, and we're going to make our way around.
Yeah, and you can jump right in. We were talking about how with Brother Voodoo, he's used as a positive influence, even though in the past, voodoo elements have been used as a negative. So it's like that's one of the really great things that's coming around.
Yeah, like a lot of movies, even recently, what was the one I just saw a movie where voodoo was like this negative connotation, because the skulls and the chicken and like the blood, like all those things are always used as like ooga booga. So it's exciting that this character has the ability to be like, hey, this is another kind of magic. This is another kind of magic. Let's show you that, like, it's all good or all bad. Like, it's all, we're all moving in a direction. So
it's not just all evil. It's, it's got different sides, just like everybody. It's got different dimensions.
Right.
So it's like,
and he's
discover
so different.
These other dimensions.
He's
yes.
so different than the other characters. That, that's exciting. And a mystical world would be a really cool way for Marvel to go. So Matt's not here, so I want to make sure Doctor Strange got its love. It's due.
No, absolutely. and I mean, it's cool that magic would have different cultures too.
Yeah, why wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, everything in the world has different cultures, and certainly with the Marvel universe, like by universe, you want to explore different aspects of things
and world building like that way. But just the idea of Brother Voodoo is an entire augmented world. Like, we build so much with one character. Like, pop, this whole thing expansion. Like, that's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he's a really interesting character, and like it's one of those things where, you know, especially with the time period he was introduced, he should have just been racist.
Right.
Like, you just expect
it to be just...
And he somehow
wasn't. Like, yeah. They did a good job walking the line.
Yeah. But when you think about it, like, back when, I'm going to go into DC a little bit. Sorry, I don't like DC. But, like, I posted on my Facebook forever ago with Cesar Romero and Eartha Kitt. And that was the 1960s. And they were Joker and Catwoman. And it's like, yes, diverse casting has always existed.
Not only was it diverse casting, it was painting over a mustache casting, which is the most impressive casting of all. While on Doctor Strange, Dan Harmon has been helping out with...
That's thrilling.
I love that. Dan Harmon is brilliant, and the multidimensional, like, Dan Harmon trend continues on. I love that, like, he's like, let me do this and make sure this is involved. I mean, that's a more comedic aspect that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, most likely.
I mean, at the same time, Dan Harmon is all about drama. Like, he has a really good sense of drama. I mean, like, you look, half of what we like Community is that they actually had arcs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of arcs.
Yeah, there are lots of arcs, and he's someone who really pays attention to collaboration.
Right.
I mean, he didn't intend for Troy and Abed to really become the friends that they became originally, but he just saw the chemistry between those two actors.
Right.
Same thing with, in the first season, Annie and Joel McHale's character, like, get together. And that was not intended originally. It was because he looked at the actors, and at one point, Joel McHale smiled at Alison Brie during a scene, and he's just like, oh, but that character wouldn't smile then. Unless. And he started thinking about it, and that's what happened.
And having him do late in the game work on the movie is really exciting, because, like, a movie like this, there can be so much put in places. Like, the way I'm seeing Doctor Strange assembled, it's not going to be like that negative reshoot thing where it's like, oh, we messed up. I think it's more about, like, oh, we can build and build and build.
Yeah, no, he's going to be like a fine tweaker. He's really good at having, like, his finger on the pulse with things and reading what is needed. So,
what's missing and what needs to be, like, tweaked here or there.
Exactly.
And he's very good about dialogue and about noticing, like, do you understand what you're implying here? I mean, half of his episodes of different shows, whether it's Rick and Morty or Community, are about criticizing stories that he just think went off in the wrong thing. I mean, there's like a Community episode about why he thinks Good Will Hunting is not actually that well told a story.
That's fun.
And there's a Rick and Morty where someone's reading a screenplay to them and does the whole, like, an exciting scene and then, like, cut to 3 weeks earlier, and they bring up, that's actually a really lazy storytelling device, guys. And then this leads to murder. But
I mean, like, just started Rick and Morty yesterday.
Yeah,
nice. Just started it. I'm getting it. I'm not.
Have fun, Koi.
I'm excited for this journey in my life. So with Guardians of the Galaxy, we found out that Kurt Russell was actually Chris Pratt's idea, and something about the idea of Chris Pratt just, like, watching, like, 80s movies, being like, you know, we should play my dad.
Like, he's like, you know who should play Ego? Captain Ron.
Yeah, like, not only the power...
Was it Tango and Cash?
The power of Chris Pratt.
Wyatt Earp to be my dad.
The power of Chris Pratt to be, like, to have that kind of, like, Marvel trusting Gunn and Pratt so much that he's like, sure, that seems like a great idea. And then it turning real, like, what a great... 10 years ago, people didn't know who Chris Pratt was, and now he's like, I think Kurt Russell's my dad, and they're like, we think so, too.
It's like, done.
That's right, amazing. The quote was that he was actually not in my head initially, but one day Chris suggested him, and I would have totally really disappointed if he'd said no. Hey, if you have to cast anything, Kurt's a really good way to go. That's true, James Gunn. That's very true. So, not really news, but I thought it was a quirky little anecdote, really funny. Now, Captain Marvel finally has a shortlist for directors, but keep in mind, often these aren't proven or validated, or they might have been a shortlist and then another director came on. So these are all not conjecture, but we're not sure what exactly is going on with them. But four directors are rumored for Captain Marvel. We have Nico Caro, who directed Whale Rider, Leslie Linka-Glatter, who directs Ray Donovan, and then Laureen Scafaria, who directed Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which I think is a really underrated movie. If you haven't seen
it. Oh, it's so good.
It's great, but nobody talks about it.
I haven't seen it. I'll put it on the list.
It's good. Quality film. It breaks your heart.
I don't think people knew exactly what to expect from that movie.
It
was early Steve Carell drama, and I mean, the trailers seemed very divided about how much of the comedy funny do we drama. Want to show, and how much the drama do we want to show?
Steve Carell's drama now, but then he was just coming off a bunch of comedies. I think they didn't really know how to market it, because, like, Dan in Real Life didn't do as well either, and these are movies that, like, Steve Carell's brilliant. So it's something that people should see, and the directing's great, and that gives me a lot of hope for her tone. And then another director was added recently. Rebecca Thomas, who directed 2012's Electric Children, an indie drama. So a lot of these directors I don't know, and I mean, I'm pretty well-versed in movies and indies. I'm not, obviously, to this level, but the excitement of these being tiny indie directors and directors that put so much heart into their work.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
know the stakes that Captain Marvel has. They know they're introducing the first large female lead in the Marvel Universe in her own solo film. This is their first solo female director. So, I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on these particular directors?
I wish I was better versed.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just like, good.
I'm gonna have to put all their movies on the list and come back with a more informed opinion.
I'm curious if you guys think that there is a strength to picking an up and comer, like a no name, or if they want to really try to sell this, which is a harder marketing property, just even based on the name, with a more known director. Or if there's any merit to that at all.
I think there's only 5 directors that have the name that pulls in the audience. I think there's only maybe 5 directors in the world where, like, and the average person, just the average Joe, is like, oh, right, the Steve Spielberg. Yeah. Like, there's not that many directors that name has that kind of recognition. I think the talent's more important.
Well, it's also the fact is, like, Marvel by itself is its own selling point now.
Absolutely.
They don't need to worry about, like, should we get a big director so that people will watch one of our superhero films.
Right.
Like, no, it's freaking Marvel.
Like, Taika Waititi is it's his biggest thing by a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just very excited.
And I mean, the fact is, like, this just goes back to the idea that Marvel has had since the beginning of Marvel Studios, that you get people, hopefully, but quite usually, who are right for the job.
Yeah.
And who are mainly there about storytelling. Because, you know, Ken Branagh, on Thor, that was huge for me because I'm a Shakespearean nut.
Yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of my friends, like, who aren't into theater or really into filmmaking, but they, you know, they go to movies every summer. They couldn't have told you who Ken Branagh
was.
Right. No. They didn't know Hamlet.
Like, how can you not know? Like, he did this 4-hour version of Hamlet.
Right,
like, oh,
right.
That sounds great.
Who's Laurence Olivier? What do you mean he's the new Laurence Olivier? Who's
Laurence Olivier? And so I think that also there's the fact of, from a power perspective, if you have a more indie director thrown in there, then it's, I think there's an attitude of, like, they won't be so set in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
We can give them notes. We can tell them maybe this isn't quite working for our Marvel universe.
They also focus on character. And that's really important to me, is that you're not dealing with a director who's so used to directing action films that they focus on the action. You're not dealing with, like, no disrespect to either of these gentlemen. You're not dealing with a Michael Bay or a Zack Snyder who is focused on the visual aspects.
I'll give disrespect for them.
I will stand by my neutrality.
I will stand by my disrespect for both of them.
My opinion notwithstanding, I think having characters whose... directors whose character work is stronger than their focus is on the character work is more important, because Marvel's built this universe out of character choices, and the character choices are what make the film. And I'd rather see a scene where a bunch of Avengers are hanging out in a farmhouse than I'd rather see a scene about them fighting another, like, gray horde.
Well, to piggyback off of what you were saying with indie directors and Marvel being a major name that's going to bring in audience anyway, from a fiscal point of view, if you have an indie director, then you know, you can save a little bit on the budget. But also, making a film like this is also a star maker.
Oh, 100%.
So you can. Yeah. So yes, they can get paid peanuts for this particular film.
Yeah,
but then they're
going to
be exactly. So just saying, from that point of view, this is a great choice.
Absolutely, it's copy credit meals for big filmmaking. Like, it's just like, please.
But the next one's going to be.
But also, like, it's all of these films that we've talked about from these directors are films where I think about those stories, like, I think about Wave Rider, and I think about, you know, A Friend of the In the World, and I think, yeah, I can see that translating to a story about this Air Force woman who gets cosmic power, and how does she react to that. I can see all that translating well, as opposed to, you know, someone who, like, directed something grim and gritty being put on something that's usually supposed to be idealistic.
Right.
Right, then I'm like, is this the right choice? Like, well, maybe yes, maybe no. We'll see. Mm. Well, you know, I have a little more confidence in this. And, I mean, Carol Danvers is a Superman-level hero in the Marvel universe, like, in terms of power and
Omega.
Idealism. And yeah, exactly. So,
and I didn't know Patty Jenkins' work. And, man, that Wonder Woman trailer is the best-looking trailer I've seen in a long time.
If that movie...
I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, if that movie falls short, it is not because of the director.
Right. And if that movie's as good as the trailer, then whoa.
They could just play that trailer on loop for me.
Seriously, 2 hours of that, I'm like, good. More.
The thing that the list sort of shows me is that they are going to keep Captain Marvel a fairly lighthearted picture.
Mm-hmm.
As was like, I would still love to see a Michelle McLaren entry somewhere in the Marvel universe.
I'd love that too. I love her.
But I as much as I was saying, like, I thought she would be a good fit, this shows me that maybe not for this script.
Yeah.
Like what they're doing, because she's doing more dark things, let's say.
Yeah, I think that this shows a specific tone, because what I know of these directors is a very specific tone, and it's character-based, and that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Before we move on, need to mention the way we're here today. We are sponsored by Blue Apron today, and you and I both experienced the glory of Blue Apron. Now, they have certain things I need to say, but the most important thing before I plug away is that if you go to blueapron.com/MarvelUs, you get 3 free meals, not discounted, not what it free, and they're delicious.
It's well worth it.
Like, did you have a crazy magical journey like I did?
I did. You have to check my Instagram. I did most of it on Snapchat, but yeah, check my Instagram. I detailed it out. I was like, this is so amazing. I know how to make fresh fresh corn from corn on the cob. I didn't know that before this. Corn on the cob was grilled. You know, it was thrown on a grill and that was it. But now I know how to.
Nice.
Know, yes. And I know everything.
The pork chops I made were transcendent. I am so proud of my pork chop ability thanks to these guys.
It's very easy to follow.
They use local farms, local ranchers. That's very important to me. They actually try to keep food coming from people that you want to help. And they actually try to keep food organic and important. It's Whole Foods quality food for not Whole Foods prices. It's delivered to you. It's very simple directions. And it's all from the heart and with care. And these are my words, not theirs, because I prefer to commercial my way. And they're fantastic. Thank you, Blue Apron. And keep feeding America. And if you don't want to like do this for you, then get it. Learn to cook and then give it to a homeless person, because then you'll get the knowledge of knowing how to cook, you'll get something for free, and you'll make someone's day better. So that's your other option. Blueapron.com/Marvel.
Doom recommends Blue Apron for early dates.
Ooh.
Like early in the day or initial dates?
Early when you are courting a person you have interest in.
Excellent.
Wow them early. Now on to our clip portion of the show. There's been a bunch of stuff that came out clip-wise, but first we're going to talk about the Luke Cage footage. Now, it was awesome. Have you guys both seen it?
Yes.
It's like a very quick little snippet, but it shows the tone so much. And want to cue it up for us, Doom?
Let's take a look.
Let's. And first of all, the music from the top is a character, and I love that.
It sets it beautifully. That's right, girl.
I love that there's always a boxing ring. I love that. It shows how strong he is, because the fights in the other ones, they're not superhuman strength. They're average strength people. So this is amazing.
They heard about him. They didn't believe.
I'm about sick of always having to buy new clothes.
Such a Luke Cage line. And then the music out. Like, that was 30 seconds, and the show's coming around the corner. Like, it's what, September 30th?
Yeah.
We have a month.
All episodes September 30th.
We have a month.
You won't see me September
30th. Yeah, no, I'm out. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to take work off
it's
now.
It's going to be a big old binge. I don't even know exactly what day of the week that is, but I'm already taking off of work.
Doesn't matter. Short of, like, you know...
13-hour live commentary.
From my bedroom to no one without cameras. That's what I'm experiencing September 30th. I mean, I think that teaser's great because it doesn't show a lot. It doesn't give anything away, but it also gives you everything you need to know about the tone. It gives you everything you know about the character. Yeah. It gives me full... I mean, I already had full faith, but it gives me even more hope in what that show's going to be.
Yeah, you already know that Luke's been out there, you know, scuffling and ruffling up because he says, I'm sick of buying new clothes. So you know that there's more of a history behind... This isn't the first scene that you see.
He's been in a few scraps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's seen some stuff. I think that the show is going to be as good as the other Netflix shows, if not better, and that's saying a lot, because I think the Netflix universe is actually slowly passing the Marvel film universe for me.
We've talked about this before. Like, I personally think just television is a better model for these characters. Yeah, it's comic books are serialized storytelling.
It's almost that they come out monthly and continue a long story on for some sort of 13-hour window. Like, exactly. It kind of fits.
But then also, because you get to explore, you know, who is Wilson Fisk, who is the Purple Man, who is Jessica Jones, as opposed to in the movies, and I mean, some of them are fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh,
Winter
Soldier
is still.
Well, we're here.
No, Winter Soldier is a brilliant movie.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Across the board. But, you know, a lot of the movies, like, they'll have this task of taking, let's take two really good stories with this character and try to mush them into one, two, two and a half hour period. And right. sometimes it leads to misfires like Iron Man 3, where you had, like, I could see you're basing where it on was. The. Yeah. I'm like, right. okay, you've got the five nightmares, and you've got the Extremis story, and you've got the Mandarin, and. But those stories don't really mix. They're not really. They don't really complement each other. And you've got right. a movie that's not terrible, but it's not yeah. really like, hey, let's watch that again and right. think about life. Like,
I want no. cohesive right. as much as possible. And the Netflix universe allows us to
breathe.
Yeah,
to yes. breathe and you be able to tell a full yeah. story. You
go through it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like every life has relationships. Everyone you know in real life has relationships. Netflix mm-hmm. with the 13 hours has you experience those relationships instead of experiencing those. Action plot points.
Right.
Right. Like, just, okay, small tangent. Since we're going to talk about Thor in a second.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, think about it, like, with Young Gods. Like, if that was a Netflix or, like, a television show, then it could have time to, like, breathe.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Heimdall, you know, going and doing, like, yes, you, Bright Sword, and, mm-hmm. you know, such and such. Like, that makes sense, as opposed to trying to cram it into, like, maybe an 8-minute part right. of a bigger movie, where it's like, then put them in sleep. Okay, now good. That we'll right. save that for later.
And it's hard because some things, like, budget-wise, you have to do in movies. Like, that's just the way. But with these characters they've chosen, they're perfect for the budget bracket and for the length of storytelling. Like, I'd love a Thor show.
I would love...
But that would cost $800 million.
See, this is why maybe you focus on the Asgardians who don't have quite the same power level. So... This is why, Netflix, you have to do a 6-part Warriors 4.
Oh, I'd love that. Oh, cool.
With Sif in the trio. Dude. And just have them kick ass day. Across the realms.
I really would. Just a Sif yeah. show. I'd
be scare in. Vikings. Yeah. Scare them.
Yes. So I'm excited. Luke Cage looks great. That is only a month away at this point, so not much more news is likely to come out because it's about to be real. We're about to just experience the whole thing. So,
right.
Wow. That's going to be right around our 100th show, which is pretty exciting.
Aww.
Coming up on the big one.
This is 97.
97.
Nice.
That is insane.
Yeah, right? That's like, we're about to hit that like hologram cover. Stoked with it.
There's a 90s reference. So, that's a reference that dates us.
Yeah, so for all you kids out there, once there were multiple covers to your comics, and we don't know why.
Once there were holograms put on, just to show you that the technology existed.
They were really thick, and they made it really hard to bag and board, yeah. and it makes them really stand out in your collection.
You know what killed me? I still recall very vividly, like, going to a shop, and I had one of the Spider-Man anniversary issues with mm-hmm. me, but I didn't want them to think, like, I picked it up off the rack there, so I asked my father outside, like, can you just hold this for me? He's like, sure. And without thinking, because it's a comic book, he just rolled it up in his hand, and I came out like, no! Because now you have this big crease across yeah. the right hologram.
Was it like 360?
Oh.
The sad man music.
Was it 365, or like the cover of like, the Iron Suit?
It was... It was issue 26, I want to say.
Oh, Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Just playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he meets who might be the burglar's son.
Right. Those right. four issues okay. came out, and those four different titles with the hologram, right. and they were all. I remember the yeah those days, guys.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the ultimate variant cover. It's
like... Speaking of Spider-Man, John Watts released a very cryptic but very exciting for everyone that's as excited for this movie as I am. Photo of Tom Holland on set with a green screen, and I'm hoping that's the Vulture. I'm thinking it's the Vulture, that shadow. I can't be sure.
This is actually, it's not even that they're going to put in anything later. This is literally the Vulture's lair. He just loves green so much.
He's about it.
Because if you were a Steve Ditko villain, you were probably wearing green. That's just...
It looks good on page.
Yeah, Dr. Octopus, Vulture, Green Goblin, Mysterio, Electro.
Spider-Man's red and blue. What compliment? Oh, yeah. Green. What if everyone's yeah. green? Let's say what's green.
I mean, that yes. sort of became this unspoken rule that if your hero was red and blue, then the arch enemies or the major enemies were either in green or purple and green.
Well, yeah, Lex Luthor, Prowler. I mean, yeah.
Cersei.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Color wheel, guys. We know our stuff.
Complimentary.
So this picture, I mean, there's not a lot to dissect because there's not a lot we know about it. It's just, it's the first thing we've seen official, I think, or one of the first things we've seen official on the set. It's not paparazzi photo. It's, I mean, to me, this says with great power comes great responsibility. That's what this picture says.
He does look very contemplative.
I think he's pondering responsibility.
And then like the clothing is just very average wear, a little bit, you know, a little bit ragged. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah, Spider-Man doesn't come from a lot. So he's, I mean, not a lot to say, but I'm excited because this movie is going to change my life. I'm so, so ready. That's all I know. That's all I know. So that's going to change my life. So
I am excited.
I love that.
Every frame is just hype. Speaking of which, the Instagram, did you guys see the Instagram post?
Yes.
Tom Holland challenging Chris Hemsworth. And it's him and his stunt double just doing like flips and being Spider-Man.
He's like 19. And he's Spider-Man. Like, he's doing the flippy flippies. He's
well
like,
done,
take
lad.
That, Hemsworth.
Well done.
Just growing up. Being a kid that did gymnastics and growing up young enough that Spider-Man is such a fully formed part of pop culture and then becoming Spider-Man. I can't imagine how cool it is to be Tom Holland. Cool. I can't imagine waking up and be like, I can do flips and jump around. I'm a brilliant actor. Oh, by the way, I'm also Spider-Man. Like that,
everyone,
that's,
And getting to hang out with how do you say it? Zendaya.
Yes.
Getting to hang out with her. Did you see the Instagram video where it's like they're dancing?
Screen tested with Robert Downey Jr. and then helped to the Punisher film his audition and then gets to film with Zendaya. This guy's life is just. I mean,
how great was the bloopers that came out on Civil War recently? Mm-hmm. And you just see Robert Downey like, come on, Tom, this is about me now. I was like, oh man, can you imagine like just doing a scene with frickin' Robert Downey and he's just giving you trash talk just to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. And then with Chris, like, perpetually in a good mood, Evans. Like,
the happiest because
that was their other screen test.
Yeah.
That was their other screen test. He did a scene with Robert and he did a scene with Chris Evans. And, like, that's absurd. That's basically your audition.
Yeah. What a life. And he absolutely earns it. Like, he's as good as he needs to be for that responsibility. Like, his great acting power has earned him that great responsibility.
Look what you just did.
So, I'm really happy for him. I love Tom Holland. I think he's my Spider-Man. And I think that. That Instagram video, if nothing else, shows that he's Spider-Man all the time. Like, and that is enough for me.
Just minus the science.
Just, I mean, hey, he's young. We'll get there.
Yeah. We'll train him to be a scientist.
For the 9 movies I want him to make.
Just so he can be more like Spider-Man.
Just to make the circle complete.
That's cool. Yeah. I want these 9 movies. I want in between each one to go to Columbia College. I want him to train up.
If we all write to, like, MIT, they'll have to train him, right?
That's true. Oh, yeah.
Because MIT is known for being totally cool with folks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Zendaya. I said Zendaya again. Bad habit. I didn't hear it until recently. Zendaya. Thank you, live chat.
Daddy needs to express some rage.
Ooh.
Nice.
Right. So we'll be moving on to the very fantastic reason we are in Daryl's office today. I decided this was Daryl's office. We're coming from live.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
the
of course.
Thor mockumentary. I didn't get to see until this week because I wasn't at Comic-Con, and my goodness, it's great.
It's so well done.
It's so funny. It's just like the tone of this thing. I knew kind of what the movie might be. I knew it was going to be very funny. I knew it would be dry. I knew it would be really surrealist. But like all the jokes I heard about before I saw them didn't seem as funny. Like I was like, oh, Mjolnir's got a little bed in his room. Like, it felt very like, but seeing it and like experiencing, that's the difference between like a script and a movie. Like the translation of this piece of comedy was so good. I mean, the Mark Ruffalo Thor stuff.
That, I loved that so much.
That romance, like, I'm ready for.
Yeah, where it's like, Tony Stark. Just a second. Thor's right here. Right. No. Okay.
Are you busy?
No, he doesn't know how to reach you.
The hard cut to jorts, the hard cut to, like, I wear pants and then I wake up, like, that to me was enough for me to, here's my $14 movie ticket now. I'm good, whatever you need.
Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it is now canon that Mjolnir has a little bed.
Oh, 100%.
Of course he
does.
It is
now canon. No, I accept that now as canon. That's totally.
Mjolnir wears sunglasses because the rainbow bridge is bright. That is canon to me. Like, I've accepted. And that Mjolnir has a little Thor.
Holding a little Thor.
Like, that felt like when I was a kid, I was like 7 years old and I had 2 action figures and I was inventing a backstory, but on screen and with a budget. Like, that to me was like this, but with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, it was kind of like for Doctor Who people, when the Doctor roomied with what was his name? He turned out being the father of Stormageddon, the baby.
Craig is the character's name.
Okay, when the Doctor roomed with Craig, and it's just like
James Corden.
This average person. It's like they're so normal, and that's what Daryl is. And you love Daryl. Hashtag love Daryl.
And I like the Thor movies, but this to me already, I think the movies being what they were allowed this to exist. If the Thor movies had gone the way that the rest of the Marvel movies had, where they became this like own separate universe. The first one and the second one felt so different that it's okay for this third one to feel wonky. And the way the Marvel Universe is going, that allowed this Thor 3 to be just insane.
But also, like, Marvel Studios is such a great thing. This is what you've always got to do in my mind with superheroes, is that you've got to embrace it, you've got to love it, and part of loving it is knowing when to laugh at it and right. when to poke fun at it. And, you know, like, the first Avengers movie, one of my favorite lines is Cap just sitting there and saying, so your brother has an army of space goblins who are coming to take... All right. And it's just like, all right. Like, he just wants to acknowledge, like, this is weird, right? This yep. is weird? Okay, this is weird. Like,
everybody
okay.
knows this.
Okay, we're cool here.
Yep.
Jessica Jones talking about, like, the weird guys in armor and with right. hammers, you know. Like, you have that feel where it is obviously, this is a comedic tone, but it doesn't seem so far removed right. from the Marvel Studios universe we know.
We've like already experienced a lot of this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm excited. I love the mockumentary. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's all over the internet, as the internet does. There was also, I mean, this isn't really news, but enough people are talking about it. We wanted to mention it. There was a mysterious woman spotted on set. She's wearing a cloak because that's what you do to hide out on set. I mean, some people were like, it's death, but I don't think so.
Well, no, because that's not a wardrobe cloak.
Yeah, that's a cloak of
no,
hiding
that's just,
wardrobe.
She's just hiding.
People are excited. So they're jumping on stuff. I wanted to mention it. It's not anything. We just know she's probably not an extra because she has too nice of a costume on underneath that. Like, yeah. Beyond that, we don't know.
Do we have the other picture? The one where it's like her with dark hair in the alleyway with Odin and Thor?
I did not see that picture.
Oh, yeah. It's just it's a top of, and it's just like really dark hair, and it looks like it maybe has... yeah, there it is.
Oh, look at that.
Is that it? She's in the upper left-hand corner, I believe.
Pulling it up now.
Okay. Yeah.
It looks in the... At least in the better shot, it looks like she is like very pale with like dark... Right. Eyes. I'm wondering if she's an elf of some kind.
Ooh, that'd
be
cool.
It sort of reminds me of the look of the elves from Dark
now,
World.
If that is even the same person.
I mean, she could be Odin's social worker.
Yeah, for all we know, like, she could have two lines and have to be, like, the one that goes between the gods and the humans. Like, we don't know what she is, but enough people were talking about it that,
Yeah, they were speculating that it was Odin's wife. I can't say her name. Gaia?
Mm-hmm.
G-A-E-A.
Yeah, that, because, yeah, because in the Thor comics, he wasn't just associated with Frigga or Freya. Gaia was actually Thor's mother.
Yeah, oh, but gotcha. she's everybody's mother.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, just like Zeus is everybody's
dad. She loves giving birth to children.
She just has them. Pretty exciting.
Because they gave Thor a very literal connection to Earth in the concept version. Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. I'm into it. So it's not really news. I just want to point it out because enough people were curious about it and I got enough tweets about it. What is news, however, X-Men. Legion is officially part of the X-Men universe, and there were rumors that it wasn't going to be. We don't know how that's going to work.
But, I don't know how this works.
It doesn't look like X-Men universe. And, like, the cool thing about Marvel is everything looks different, and it feels wonky, but they put it together with Avengers, and they're always, like, assembling it and making sure you know it's all together. I don't know how that show, which looks like pure madness, in the best way, because it's a movie about insanity, a show about insanity to a point could possibly be part of the black leather crowd of the X-Men film universe.
And also, is this, I assume this show is modern day.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, so this is 30 years after the events of Apocalypse.
Right.
So mutants are not just known, but there are commercials telling you where to meet Charles Xavier at his school.
And how old are people? Because that was 30 years ago, and they didn't age already between first class. Somehow they all are doing real well, but not.
I would kind of prefer if the tone of it just dealt with the nature of madness and mm-hmm. had, like, you know, the mystical aspect to it. But, like,
well,
just the nature
might...
of madness. I just want it to deal
that's
with
what
that.
I want the comic, the X-Men Legacy book.
Yeah.
That's, have you read it? It's one of my favorite runs of all time. It's one of my favorite X-Men titles.
And the fact is, like, if because they're calling it schizophrenia now, and again we've talked about this, that Legion is someone who, depending on which era you're reading and which writer you're reading, he has schizophrenia or dissociative identity disorder or is just a psychopath,
right?
And those are not interchangeable states.
To pick one, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those are different illnesses.
It's not like different flavors of now and laters.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah. Exactly.
He's
so,
crazy. No, like, pick one.
Yes.
That's too general. It's too broad of a term.
Yeah. So, I mean, the press releases have been calling him schizophrenic. It's like, all right, like, if you're doing that, then I hope you actually do
pick
the
that and
the
go
research
into that.
And depict, honestly, like,
I
what
can't
are
imagine
the good.
They won't. because right. it's 2016. It's a thing that we need to address. It's also sure. a show we haven't.
It's, had. Also, it's also a sensitivity issue.
That's what I mean. Like, it's 2016. Right. We care right. about yeah. people that have illnesses.
I would yes. like to I say I can't imagine a show wouldn't do that, but then stuff like Gotham comes out.
I won't.
You know,
it's I'm like, staying neutral. Moral neutrality.
It's like therapy can cause you to murder people. You know, it's.
Marvel, make mine Marvel. It's yes. real good. Let's hope they research.
Yeah, so I'm just really curious how they're going to approach this, and honestly, I don't think you need to connect it to it such should. A convoluted timeline, which is going to change with the next movie anyway.
I want a nice reboot of the X-Men universe, and I'd like that to not have to worry about the show stuff.
I see a quote from this that was like it technically is, but you're not going to have to worry about
they
it.
They said, quote, right. Legion yeah. is part of the X-Men universe, but when you watch it, you wouldn't have to label it. It could exist entirely on its own.
Which right. to I'm me just
bubble.
Says
it's cop out. Bubble.
It, yeah. to me that says like it's part of the universe until we decide it's not.
Right. Like yeah. look at that. Look over there. Like it's what yeah. it. So I, you know, it's...
someone will mention Wolverine in passing right. and then we'll have the rest of the show.
It's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get M-Day with the movies?
I don't
know what the movies can do.
I don't know
at this
what
point.
The movies are at this point.
Oh,
as a person that didn't love Apocalypse,
it's
I don't
a bad
know.
Movie.
It's not a bad movie. I'm not sure where it's going.
It's also got this weird connotation where, you know, the multi-diverse team that want to change the world have to be stopped by the white people.
It has
all of whom are American.
It has a lot.
All but one of whom are American.
It's got a lot of things going wrong.
Yeah, it
it's
does
also
have that white savior thing going on.
I just felt like it was a 10-year step back. I just that was my biggest issue. But,
I also have to say, like, if for all those folks who like to ship Magneto and Xavier, Apocalypse is your movie because basically it comes down to Magneto stops because of his love for Xavier.
About it.
Who in this timeline he knew for only a week.
But
clearly, the love
is eternal.
The love is eternal.
That's what matters.
So much so that Xavier lets him fix his house and then go on his way, despite having killed thousands of people in that movie.
And literally some on camera. Oh, anyway, yeah. Legion. Legion looks...
Doom!
Legion looks swell. Now, speaking of X-Men, Anya Taylor commented on her New Mutants rumor, and I love this actress. She was in The Witch, and she was far and away. The Witch was a movie that needed her to be perfect, and she was. The movie is great because of her, and she is so surreal and ethereal and magical and powerful, and she might play magic. She said, quote, "I think the world is really fascinating. I'd love to be a part of it. It would be wonderful." Now, on one hand, this is an actor saying, yeah, I'd like to be cast in a giant franchise. On the other hand, this is an actress that is rumored for this role, and I think would be perfect for this role. And I love Magic the character, and I love this actress. So, for me personally, that's really exciting. Magic is a character that has so much going on for her, that could be so much, and this actress is strong enough to make the choices well. So do you guys know her work? Do you guys know the character?
No, not really. I haven't seen The Witch yet.
She's brilliant in it. It's unbelievable what that movie was able to do with so little, like, in the way of, it's a movie set in like, colonial Salem, and like, it actually feels like that.
Right.
So it's like very natural lighting, very minimalist use of CGI, which is what I like in horror. And it's literally a movie that's set around the fear of the unknown that manages to keep you for 2 hours and use old English. And like, and this is, imagine being a kid trying to be like, I'm like 16. I know what the mall is. I don't know what the, like, we don't grow up in the woods anymore. I don't know what it's like to live in the woods. This
Thank
movie,
God.
Right? This movie felt like she could do that.
I mean, where would you do your shopping, dear boy?
Well, all the lights, where am I?
Because Blue Apron doesn't deliver there.
How are you doing this? No, but like, the idea of like that time frame is so far removed from modern culture because we've exponentially improved our quality of life. She made me feel like she knew that world. And if she can do that, then I feel like she can make me feel like she knows hell.
Yeah, magic's got some got a lot to carry with her, like, emotionally, because I mean, if you stick anywhere near the comic book idea, it's this person who starts off as kind of an average girl, though her brother is a mutant hero, and then goes away for years from her perspective in this hellish dimension, learning dark secrets that make her powerful, but that
and
also
a little off.
Yeah, they corrupt her. It's right. It's a corruptive thing, and it's you're trying to stay as a good person despite being surrounded by corruption, and the only mentor you really have I mean, she has a couple mentors in there. There's like evil Nightcrawler in there.
Right.
There's also a good version of Storm in there and all this jazz. And so you've got these different influences vying for control over you. And she comes out as this sword-wielding teenager who's a mutant, but then even to the mutants she's weird because she's got this magical demonic stuff around her. Armor forms around her when she starts getting pissed,
and she teleports back and forth to hell in the middle of stuff like as you do.
If you can rock it out, I would love to see her sort of be the Buffy of the team.
100%. And this actress, I think, could be. And I was really impressed with her in The Witch.
Later in the article, it said Maisie Williams is
being considered for Wolfsbane? That's been a rumor for a while.
If you can do that Scottish accent, go for it.
That's very true. That's important.
But then I just adore her.
She's got to be Scottish. That's the only.
Underline.
The only question is, will magic dress like this, or like this?
No, the second one.
Will she do typical X-Men uniform?
Or last 10 years of full nudity?
Yeah, like weird sort of Britney Spears 10 years ago costume.
It's very confusing.
Very funky for a 16-year-old.
Yeah, sometimes they're like, she's a teenager. I'm like, I don't know if I should be reading this. And then other times she's like an adult. I'm like, all right, that's how I feel
better. That's the comics in general. It's like half the stuff with Supergirl. Like, oh man, Supergirl's looking really... She's supposed to be 16.
She's a child.
Terrible artist. Yeah. Terrible artist.
Inappropriate.
This is one of the reasons why I like Hela. I mean, going back to like Thor again.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I like Hela, because it's like, I love form-fitting. I do form-fitting all the time, but it's covered.
Yeah.
It's covered form-fitting.
Form-fitting makes sense because it shows the strength and it shows the power. And
right. The muscle definition.
Full nudity just shows that she can get stabbed.
Like, well, I mean, it's what would make sense with the character. Like if that were...
It's so hot to fight.
Like Emma Frost, like her outfits make complete sense for Emma Frost.
Yeah, because manipulation is like totally...
Well, exactly. That's her power.
Yeah.
She is in power there, you know, whereas magic, when she's dressed like that... That second costume we saw, it's like, no, this is not something magic wears to like rock herself out. This is the artist thought she'll look hot in this.
She's blonde.
That's a different thing. It doesn't add anything to her power or her character.
So we assume she'll go former. And I love the actress. I love the character. Let's hope it happens. Moving on to the Avengers. It would seem that in the next movie, Steve Rogers will not be Captain America. Which makes sense from the end of the movie. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the end of the movie, Steve Rogers bequeaths the shield to the world. Like, he gives it to Iron Man because it says it's not his anymore. Iron Man says,
he's like, you don't deserve that shield.
So, that's America. It's Captain America. It's no longer Steve Rogers now, which could mean he's, you know, any of the various characters he played when he wasn't Captain America, which would be really interesting if it becomes the Nomad or something.
Right.
I really enjoyed that part of the film, though, because it's like, you know, that underlying conflict of the entire film where it's like freedom versus security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's something that we deal with now, and it's like him, you know, agreeing and giving over that shield.
Giving over his,
like,
security, accepting his freedom.
Exactly.
That movie is so good. I love Civil War so hard. Like, I think Winter Soldier is the best comic film. I think that Civil War is the best comic on screen. Like, it felt like a comic, whereas Winter Soldier felt like a film about comics.
Right.
And I loved watching a comic.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, this is what I wanted in the 90s, and I was just clappy happy. So he said, quote,
hashtag clappy happy.
Yeah, I just pulled that out of my butt, and I'm pretty proud of it, clappy happy. They said, quote, I think him dropping that shield is him letting go of that identity. Him admitting that certainly the identity of Captain America was in conflict with the very personal choice that he was making. That's true, and that sounds like the Nomad to me, and that sounds like a good time.
I mean, it also, I could easily see it as becoming an excuse to wear the black 80s Captain uniform.
Oh, because, yeah. Was it U.S. Agent or Captain?
It later became U.S. Agent, but when Steve wore it, it was the Captain, because it was his way of giving the middle finger to...
To America.
Yeah, because if you're not familiar with the story, folks, Captain America No More... in the early 80s, there was a story where the Committee of Superhuman Affairs... who later came up with the Mutant Registration Act and things like that, basically told Captain America, look, it's nice that you've been a superhero, but, you know, technically we made your identity. We made this. We being the American government created Captain America. Yeah. So right. If you're going to continue.
TM America.
If you're going to continue using this identity and using this role, then you need to start becoming a true agent of this administration and this mm-hmm. government, where you go only on our missions and you do our agenda.
Yeah.
And you don't go off on your own or defy orders and stuff. Right. Yeah. And if you can't do that, then you have to turn in the costume and shield. And after an issue of soul searching and talking to people, Steve decided, no, I don't represent one government or administration. I represent an ideal, and mm-hmm. I don't trust you guys, frankly. So here you go. But then he went off and continued to be a superhero, just in a black version of his own costume. Is like, fine, I'm not Captain America, I'm just the captain.
Because I'm still a captain.
Deal with it. And got an adamantium shield from mm-hmm. Tony.
I would love that.
And so, like, I could see him later showing up in, like, that kind of, I'm referencing where I came from, but I'm not Captain America. Like, I'm just, I'm sort of this shade of it or whatever.
I'm
but
still
really,
an authority figure for myself instead.
I'm still Steve. And, I mean, also, that could, if he doesn't renew his contract, that could be a stepping stone to have Falcon
step in as Bucky
step in as the new Captain America. Either one.
Either one I'd be happy with. And both both actors and both performances and both characters in the films, I think, are worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think they've gotten to the point where I'd be not upset about either direction that goes. And I'm not big on them going directly always new comics, new movie, because I think that a lot of the old stories need to be told, but with both Bucky and Falcon as Cap, which are both relatively new in the scope of comics, I'm about that happening and going that way with the story, because I think it's a good way to use these actors in new different ways and keep the movies exciting.
And the fact is, with movies coming out, I mean, these movies come out every year, but in terms of their individual storylines, like Cap has been coming out every 4 years or something.
Yeah.
So you just, as much as we love a lot of the stories, like we're not going to see certain stories. We're at this point, I don't think we're going to see the Masters of Evil doing the siege in Avengers Mansion.
I'm not sure we'll get Serpent Society as much as
we don't
want.
Get Serpent Society.
We're not going to get Under Siege.
We won't. So
now, when does my Clone Saga movie get?
You know what?
When do I get my Ben Reilly and Kane?
Go to your room.
When's my boy? So that is that's very interesting, because it says a lot about where the films are going in very little. Like, it doesn't give us anything really new, but it does give us an idea of what's happening in that direction.
I immediately pictured, because I'm picturing from Infinity Gauntlet, the Captain America facing Thanos mm-hmm. scene, and basically mm-hmm. saying, you're not going to win. And just him saying he's put down the Captain America identity, I immediately pictured that same scene, but with Chris Evans just basically wearing a leather jacket
and a t-shirt.
And just, like, no costume, just kid from Brooklyn telling Thanos, you know what?
I just pictured the helicopter scene of just bicep flexing and Thanos.
It's like, I could do this all day.
Dude, I Chris Evans is Captain America to such a level that, like,
it's absurd.
Like, every interview, every time, I'm always like, that dude, so if he puts down the shield, that's just, what, Chris Evans? Like, it's just Chris Evans in regular life walking around Boston. Like, it's the man. To debunk Matt Key while he's not here. This is not necessarily, we can't confirm nor deny, but the Russos also think that it's unlikely that the X-Men are joining the Avengers. We always have to bring it up because it's very exciting. Everyone's very amped about it happening, so much so that anytime there's a glimmer of news, people are like, that must be true, because we all want it to be true, or a lot of us want it to be true.
Matt Key confirms. That it's not happening.
That it's not confirmed. So the Russos came out and said, Joe Russo came out and said, quote, as far as we know, right now there isn't talk regarding the X-Men. I don't know if behind the scenes there were conversations or if there are any conversations happening, but we certainly haven't heard any. Then Anthony Russo said, Sony and Marvel had a relationship through Kevin Feige and Amy Pascal and through us and Amy. That's really how Spider-Man came about. It requires a certain alchemy and a very special situation for studios to share properties. That sounds like very, very nice. We don't think so, and we would know. Unless, we're kind of running the Marvel Universe right now.
Unless they cast a spell.
Yeah.
Like, deal with it.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I've said before I would love it because I'd love to see Wolverine and Spider-Man, but I'd also love to have more movies from different studios so there's competition, so therefore they have to do better. I think that we don't want Marvel to become Starbucks. Like, we don't want them to just be on every corner and not have to try. Like, no disrespect to Starbucks, but, like, I think that if DC ups their game to Marvel level, Marvel up their game. Like, you know, as long as Fox, Marvel, like, I want exponential increase, not just everything at one studio, so they can just be like, make it, personally.
I mean, I when I remember when the idea that they were going to be separate universes like really disappointed me when I first realized that years back. And as we've begun exploring it more and more and more and seeing the different sides, and now we have a fully realized MCU in a kind of broken, band-aided together X-Men universe. I don't know. The more I think about it, like, I kind of enjoy them being separate. Mm-hmm. But then I started thinking about, you know, I've also loved Fantastic Four and all this jazz to be in the Marvel Universe. Right. And I started thinking, I was talking with a friend of mine, and we started thinking about if I were in charge or something, I would actually go for certain things being a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I brought in the Fantastic Four into the Marvel Universe, I would keep them in the 60s.
Because mm-hmm. it has a totally special flavor.
It just has a great flavor with the space race. And then also, then you have Reed Richards as someone that Tony Stark grows up emulating. Right. Not that you have these two, because they're not even just the two ones. There's also, like, frickin' Scott Lang and everything. You have so many geniuses living in the same era.
Right.
And
you spread it out.
And then also, like, the very first X-Men movie, like, this is another reason why the timeline got so messed up. The first X-Men movie is not supposed to take place in 2000 when it came out. It's supposed to be the near future, and Brian Singer used to say he imagined it took place in 2015.
Right.
And so in my head,
we're there.
Right, suddenly we're there. And I used to, like, and I was thinking about this, if you do them as different eras, like, I would sort of love that as, like, the X-Men could just be 20 years after the events of Avengers or something, where they could be yet the other generation, where, like, you're just getting enhanced humans in the Avengers era becoming more prolific. Mm-hmm.
And then, that can actually lead to mutation. I love the idea of the miracle mutation. You can have miracle children and then their children mutate, and then those are your mutants. You literally could allow the canon to be that.
Well, like, all these cosmic items are being used, and God knows what
changes
the
stuff.
That's going to change the DNA.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, that is.
Yeah, and I sort of love that when that idea that more modern comics have been doing, where there's some event that causes ripples like that. The Flash did that with Dark Matter, causes so much superhuman activity because this event happened.
And it makes sense.
Golden Age from DC Comics had this idea that, like, one of Starman's original experiments caused this wave of radiation, and he didn't know. It seemed to be benign, but then years later, people with great speed and great strength started showing up, and he was like, oh my God, did I do this?
So I want that. I just don't know if we'll. I don't know if we'll ever get it.
I don't think we will ever get it. And it's just my own little fantasy,
right? I mean, I wrote a whole pitch for Spider-Man Deadpool road trip comedy for movie fights, and, you know, that'd be my dream to have Deadpool and this Tom Holland team up, and I have a whole way that would work. It's just not a thing that would cause enough. It's a business, and I don't think we'll ever have that kind of osmosis again. And I love that we do for Spider-Man, but I just wouldn't count on it. It'd be great. Probably not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We, in speaking of Avengers, found out that Red Hulk and Iron Spider were considered for Civil War. We heard rumors all the way leading up that both characters might make an appearance, and it sounds like they came close-ish. They said, quote, Joe Russo said, quote, we had so many characters in that movie as it was. We consider everything, obviously, but with so many characters in that movie as it was, to try to entertain adding another character and get to the Red Hulk, you have to add backstory. You have to substantiate the narrative to get to that. Thaddeus Ross was on our list of priorities. He was there sort of as a government agenda and not to add another complicated superpowered character to the mix. Thank you for not doing that.
Yeah, no it was completely unnecessary.
It was already a big movie.
Yeah. It was a huge
William
movie.
Hurt did exactly what he needed to do.
And maybe later.
And also, like, if you added that, then that probably means that of the different storylines and the scenes that exist in Civil War that you would have had to take away from to give time to Red Hulk, you probably would have taken away from Black Panther. And God damn what an amazing...
We will not take away from Black Panther.
No, that's not happening. That movie might as well have been subtitled, guys, Black Panther, am I right? Like, because amazing, amazing. Yes. He was the heart and soul of that movie.
And we just met him. Like,
met him. That movie had no business making Black Panther as amazing as he was.
That movie did the thing where I was like, man, I'm always a little worried about them just not having an origin and throwing him in because it's going to feel convoluted and like Batman and Robin. Oh, wait, Black Panther's here.
Yeah.
Like, I was just in.
Yeah.
So that movie was enough. I didn't need Red Hulk. I'd love him later. I didn't need Iron Spider.
Yeah.
It was perfect. So thank you, Russos, for not shoehorning in too much.
Yeah, it's like, how would you have even done that. I mean, because you just introduced Tom Holland, so you're also going to introduce, you know, Amadeus, and it's like, wait, so we're going to meet his school buddy, and he's going to be there, and then like he's Iron Spider, or is it going to be that Tony Stark?
Also becomes a monster. You didn't know?
Yeah.
By the way, you know what, William Hurt's back from that movie from the, you forgot was part of the canon.
At that point,
here's Cable. He just injected him with the techno-organic virus.
At that point, just bring in Abomination too.
Why not? Everyone's back, you guys.
Turns out Whiplash isn't dead. He's just like really old and hurt.
He's just tired.
Like,
you know,
he was just tired. He was napping.
Yeah, that's the thing. So yeah. I appreciate.
Here's the real Mandarin, by the way. Like,
so I'm glad they considered it. I'm also glad they didn't do it.
And thank you for Black Panther.
Yes,
so much.
I mean, speaking of Black Panther,
yes,
we got a scene out of Civil War.
Let us watch the madness. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen these yet.
Silence
fills the room.
Said you'd do it yourself. You meant you'd do it yourself.
You are not used to the truth, are you?
I gotta look at your suit, vibranium weave. I'm very impressed. You realize that this puts you under the Accord's jurisdiction.
How long do your psychological evaluations usually take?
Why, are you bored?
Not currently. But my prisoner and I have a plane to catch.
I realize you're not one for politics. I think there's a chance you may be a bit naive.
Congratulations, Your Highness. He got extradition.
Yes, Ms. Romanoff. I'm sure I have much to learn.
I love him so much.
Oh, yes.
He is T'Challa. Like, it's just
so good.
There's so much power in his voice.
So good.
And his
love.
And his...
love.
Great. I mean, I understand why it was deleted, but I also love that we got to see it. Like, I get how that movie, like we said, was so big, and that scene was one beat in a world of beats.
Well, also, I mean, like, with deleted scenes, it's not just about what if they're cool. It's, you know,
pacing.
What do they add?
Yeah.
And the fact is, like,
focus.
Well, you know, what did that add? That they respect each other? We get that from other scenes. That his suit is vibranium? We already got that from Captain America realizing it.
Yeah.
That he's going to take Bucky? We already knew that was his intention. Whether or not he actually gets the authority to do it doesn't matter, because then Zemo shows up.
Yeah,
right.
And we already know he's cool as hat. So
yeah,
we
exactly.
Know that.
So,
they're talking about his accent in the live chat, and I just had this image of like him commanding his army, but it's actually Chadwick Boseman like doing accent classes because it's an accent that he assembled. So I love the idea of him being like, no, like, and then shaping this accent.
I want that accent to be my GPS voice.
Seriously,
oh,
it's awesome.
God.
Because I rush to work, I would be so calm.
Yeah, right?
Just hearing that GPS.
Tell
like,
me more. Left,
like, you
okay.
Know what? Yeah, you're right.
I have arrived. I feel good about it. Do we have another clip? I believe there were two that we had.
We have one more.
Oh,
another clip.
Yeah.
Before we wrap out.
I need some popcorn, man.
Tell us, clip day today.
The internet wants to...
it wants to cooperate.
Good old internet show, struggling with the internet.
Let's,
This is a meta commentary in the future, you guys. This is the struggle. So I'm excited about the idea of getting a fully formed Civil War release where we actually get to see the deleted scenes, because I can't imagine how much there is. So I'm hoping there's actually a few more. I think there's like 5 or 6 total that have been like talked about. So having the 2 out online is a great way to tease the excitement of this thing. It comes out September 13th, if I remember correctly.
But digital download September 2nd, I
is
think,
it first?
Like
yeah, BBS Ultimate Edition did that too. So it's smart. I mean, it's good marketing. I'm a tangible guy. I'm like, I have
oh,
so
I know. I'm
products.
So scared that like my console, my PS4, is just gonna crap out on me one day, and I'm like, no.
Well, it's
I
like
must have all my movies.
I think it's the last physical medium is Blu-ray. Like, I think, I mean, there's HD Blu-ray, but I don't think we're gonna have another thing after this. I think it's that's why I started buying, because I think it's gonna be like albums for my kids. Be like, flip through my Blu-rays. Like, it'll be a cool thing to be like, I had these things when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Dad, so, what's that shelf? I don't get why you have stuff on a shelf.
Why are your movies like out and like touchable? We just press a button. Like, that's going to happen. So I think Blu-rays are important. But we can't get the clip to work, so we're going to move on to a very quick round, very quick, of shout-outs for our lovely Marvelites on the iTunes. Britta Lou said, I love you guys, gave us 5 stars and left a wonderful comment. Thank you. Sep13, we have seen you before, and you got engaged yesterday, and that is really exciting. So congratulations.
Yay, the next chapter of life.
That's amazing. Someone suggested a Marvel-themed wedding, and yes. So thank you for letting us know.
That's amazing. I have the power to officiate in many states.
Dude, ooh. You want to go Marvel-themed wedding. There it is. Darth Becca has an awesome name, and we appreciate the 5 stars. Our plan guy gave us very constructive criticism about name dropping, and we'll work on that, because as you know, I make fun of myself for doing it all the time, saying I drop them off the floor, and I will work on that, because I don't want to be that guy, because nobody likes that guy. Kryptonite315 said we're an amazing show, and he is a state trooper, and he would make his long days better. And as someone that serves the people, I'm glad to serve you in any way. So I appreciate that, man.
Great. Thank you for your service, sir.
Yeah, and thanks for giving us that note. And then Luke W10, he's been following us from the beginning and has the same birthday as me, which makes it very exciting for me as a selfish narcissist. September 15th, happy birthday, but I'll remember because I know it.
And as a selfish narcissist here, my birthday was August 27th.
What up?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I think getting drunk after this.
Right? Let's go right now. I think birthdays are underrated. It is a day all about you, and that is exciting, and more people should embrace that about themselves, because every day should be about you as long as it doesn't affect others. So celebrate being alive, because it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, on a saddish note, my great-grandma is in intensive care and probably won't make it through the end of the day. And I am so appreciative that I got to know my great grandma, because a lot of people don't get to know that level of family. Like my mom's grandma was still alive and still is, but probably won't make it. And I actually got to meet her mom. Like I was raised knowing my great great grandma, which is incredible. So my great grandma's in rough shape, and I only want to see that as a positive because I got that experience. So anyone with family that you don't see often, or anyone that doesn't get the chance to say you love them, because you never know when it's the last time, and you never know when you're not going to get that opportunity again. I was lucky enough to see her about a year ago, and I will always appreciate that, because you never know. So hug your family, love them, tell them, don't be ashamed, it's a weird faux pas. Embrace that, because you never know when it's over. So hug everyone, love everyone, and that's what the world should be about. So I love you guys, and I appreciate everything you do for us, and I love your tweets, and I love doing this show for you. And I love my guests. Aww. So thank you guys so much for being here.
Sure thing.
Yeah. And where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Markeia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. Also, Snapchat is Darth Thin Mints. Darth is in Vader. Thin Mints is in Girl Scout Cookies.
I laugh every time. I love that Snapchat.
And if you really enjoy live comedy, I am guest starring with an improv troupe called The Revengers. And this Saturday at Pack Theater at 7 p.m., it's Pay What You Can, I am going to be improvising a villain origin story with them, complete with splash pages. And
already sold.
Yes. So, hey, come out for that.
Right. That's awesome. Sir?
You can find archives of my work at alankistler.com. That's KISTLER.com. You can also find me on Twitter at SizzlerKistler and on Instagram at AlanSizzlerKistler. And, you can find Captain America versus Iron Man, Freedom, Security, and Psychology in bookstores and Amazon, which is a collection of psychological essays on the characters. And I contributed, I co-authored one of them. And Doctor Who History, my New York Times bestseller, is still out there on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Growing up, New York Times bestseller was like this crate. Like, it's such a thing. And like, no one? It's awesome, man. Congratulations.
For 1 week.
That's amazing, hey. Dude. That's incredible.
No.
I mean, that's like,
there's no asterisk next to W.
No, it's true.
You know how hard it is to get published? You got one on the New York Times bestseller list, man. So you can find me at Coyjandreau, Coyjandreau, on Twitter and Instagram. In the coming months, I have a film that's going to be in film festivals called Vane. That was a 360-degree virtual reality experience. That's awesome. So if it's anywhere coming to you, I'll let you guys know. And in October, we're doing our Rocky Horror Hipster Show again at 3 Clubs, and you can check it out. It sold out in 4 minutes each show last year, so for live theater to sell out is crazy.
That's
in LA.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
So
I'd love,
thank you. It's amazing. That's so fantastic. I'd love to meet you guys, and I hope you guys can make it. But that's not in October, but I'm just starting to rehearse, and it's crazy. So this has been an amazing show, and I love you folks, and we will see you next week on Marvel Movie News.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the host.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.